You are listening to a podcast from Raritan Valley Community College.
Now, it's my privilege to introduce our first candidate for governor, Chris Daggett, who came off an impressive performance last night. You have his bio. Bio in front of you. Let me just highlight some of Chris's Somerset County connections. His dad was a former mayor of Berners
Township. Right.
Chris and his wife live in Somerset County. His wife is a former member of the Berners Township Board of Education. And for the last 15 years, Chris was chairman of the Open Space Advisory Committee for the county. So I just want to highlight Chris's deep connections to our community and welcome here to say a few words. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you all. I won't start acknowledging all the elected and appointed officials. I'll get in trouble, I'm sure, because I'm bound to miss somebody. But it's indeed an honor to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to share with you some of my thoughts about state of New Jersey and the issues that are facing us and what we as a state need to do over the next 4 to 8 years and longer. It's true, Michael said, I am a Somerset County person. I've been here 47 years in Berners Township and Basking Ridge and a number of different places, but I've virtually lived here the better part of my life. My father was indeed on the Township Committee in Berners Township for 9 years. My wife, who's here with me today, was on the Berners Township Board of Education, founded the Berners Township Board of Berners Township Education Foundation. I chaired the YMCA board at Somerset Hills Y. I've been actively involved in this community for a long time. I've also been a member of Regional Plan Association for quite some time, and we've been deeply involved in all the planning that's been going on between Bridgewater, Raritan, and Somerville. Also participated to some degree in the Route 22 corridor study. So, and my office actually is here in Somerville. So I've been deeply involved in this county, and it's a great honor to be able to speak here before you today. New Jersey's in a deep fiscal crisis. You know, we haven't talked much about that during this campaign. It's important to know about driving records, and it's important to know about whether you made a loan to a subordinate or a girlfriend or somebody else that's close to you. But it's not important to talk about an $8 billion deficit and the problems that face us and what we need to do to make this state more competitive and more affordable. I've tried to do that from the minute I decided to run for office, and have spent my time trying to provide the state with detailed plans on a wide range of issues, and the widest and most important probably is the state of our economy. Next year, the Office of Legislative Services is projecting that we're going to have an $8 billion deficit. $8 billion on a budget that at the state portion of it is $29 billion. By the way, you hear John Corzine talk about cutting the budget from $33 to $29 billion. The real budget for the state of New Jersey is about $48 billion this year. The reason is because most of the people in the legislature, Republicans and Democrats alike, as well as the governor, don't talk about the whole budget, which is all the federal money and bond money and everything else. And that budget went up this year. What a surprise. It went up because we're using some of the drop in the state money, the drop in the state money is being covered by federal stimulus money, which of course is going to go away, and as it goes away, it's going to leave us with a pretty big hole. Next year, of the $8 billion, 1.6 of it is just from the stimulus money that will no longer be coming in, that is being used today to pay for operational costs of government. But let me give you a sense of the size of $8 billion budget gap. I was using $4 billion for a while in my expected shortfall until the OLS study came out and said it was $8 billion. But at $4 billion, if the average state worker makes $50,000 a year, the question is how many people do you have to cut to get to a $4 billion gap? Because that's what you hear John Corzine and Chris Christie talk about. We're going to cut employees and we're going to reduce the size of government. Well, there are about 65 or 70,000 state employees. If you just fire state employees or reduce the state employee to deal with that $4 billion budget, how many people do you have to fire? Most people don't realize when they see the number 4 billion in the newspaper, it's the number 4 followed by the word billion. It's not 4 followed by 9 zeros. So they don't appreciate just how big that number is. The answer to the math question is 80,000. 80,000 times 50,000 is 4 billion. So that means a bunch of state workers are going to get fired twice. Now, you know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. We're never going to reduce government by that amount. So the question is, how are we going to deal with this budget gap? And certainly we're going to have to deal with it in the form of going after the five key areas that people say you can't touch: aid to education, aid to municipalities, Medicaid, and then the health care and pension benefits of public employees. And that means all public employees, not just state employees, but school teachers, municipal, county, all the people who are part of the pension system are going to probably have to, if we're going to do this fairly and if we're going to do it across the board and if we're going to get a reduction in the kinds of costs of government that we're going to hope to get, we're going to have to ask them to probably go a contract round with at least a salary freeze, maybe a salary cut, and we're going to have them contribute more to health care and pension benefits, because that's where the money is. Unfortunately, that's what we're going to have to do. But if we're going to save their pensions and save their health care benefits, which, by the way, are unfunded to the tune of about $100 billion, $30 billion on the pension side, $60 to $70 on the health care benefit side, it's unconscionable what we've done, the hole that we've dug here. And if we're ever going to get them out of that and honor the commitment we've made for them for their health care and pension benefits, we're going to have to ask them to all work together to try to reduce some of those costs if we're going to save their jobs and help and save their pension benefits. Not an easy task. Tough unions, tough conversations, but nevertheless, we're going to have them, because it's time for government to start living a little bit like the private sector. And when the economy goes sour in the private sector, you reduce costs. And that's the way we're going to have to do this. And it's not going to be necessarily the best way by firing people. We're going to have to get people to participate in an overall reduction in the kinds of salaries and pension and health care benefits that they're receiving now. And then we're going to have to change the system so that new employees coming in probably move to a defined contribution system rather than a defined benefit system. We're going to have to do some fairly significant things in this state if we're going to get on top of everything. I've proposed a plan that I want to talk about because, first of all, my opponents haven't put forward anything. And it's real easy to criticize when you don't have a plan, but I'm going to tell you a little bit about the plan in some greater detail than you might have heard last night. It's a little tough in 30 seconds to give an answer to, how do you fix healthcare in the United States in 30 seconds? Go! And so you feel a little bit hampered when you're up there. But I'll take a little bit of time to tell you what the plan does and doesn't do, and then we can talk about it, because I think it's important to have this conversation now, before the election. Not, I got a secret plan and I'll tell you when it's all over. Or they pretend it's not there, and then the day after the election they say, oh my word, I had no idea. I didn't know it was going to be this bad. No, it is this bad, and we ought to be talking about it now and in the next 4 weeks before this election ends, so that you all can make a decision based on who you believe will do the best job at making the changes and fixing this state. First, my plan is, the principles associated with my plan are to make New Jersey's tax system more competitive. It's to end the over-reliance on the property tax. Right now, our property taxes take in more money at around $24 billion than the combination of sales, income, and corporate taxes in this state. That's how out of balance the tax system is in New Jersey and how over-reliant we are on the property tax. We need to rein in public sector salary, pension, and benefit costs, which I mentioned. We got to reduce the unfunded pension and health care liabilities and long-term debt. We need to invest in job growth. And we need to fight for our fair share of federal revenue. Right now, we get about 50 cents on the dollar in the Medicaid program, for example, when some states get 72 cents. Overall, I think we get something like 61 cents on the dollar. For every dollar we send to Washington, we get 61 cents back. Some states get $1.03, $1.04. We're way down at the bottom because we're a wealthy state. So we need to fight and get our congressional delegation to start fighting harder to get our fair share of the federal funds. Balancing the tax system, or rebalancing the tax system. My plan calls for a 25% cut across the board in property taxes to a maximum of $2,500. For most people in the middle income area of this state, middle income earners, are going to get a full 25%. It also preserves or guarantees that seniors, homeowners, will get the full 25% the full $2,500, which is more than they get now in the senior freeze program that's in place. It will result in a 25% cut in the corporate income tax for everybody, small business, middle income, middle-sized businesses, and the larger corporations. It will provide a reduction in the so-called millionaire's tax and half-millionaire's tax, which was supposed to be a one-year program. And last night, actually, Governor Corzine accused me of reducing taxes on the wealthy, but said they were going to get rid of the millionaire's tax. I'm not quite sure the difference there, but that was what he said. And we're going to fund that with an expansion, not an increase. This is still a 7% sales tax. We're going to expand it to a wider range of services. We have moved from a goods economy, which is when this sales tax was put in place, we were largely a goods economy. Our economy has shifted. We're now a service-based economy, and our sales tax hasn't kept up. So therefore, the sales tax as a percentage of overall taxes has continued to decline. So this balances out the system. $4 billion down in property taxes and another in the cuts in the corporate and income taxes, and an expansion of the sales tax into additional services, which will raise about $3.9 billion, and then another $1.6 billion from the programs we're not going to have anymore, the property tax rebate. That system's been outdated for a long time. The idea that we send our money to Trenton and they wash it for 25 cents on the dollar and send it back to you? I mean, come on. That's not a system that makes sense. So we're going to end the property tax rebate program. We're going to end the property tax deduction on your income taxes, and we're going to provide real property tax cuts. But with it, we're going to put a hard cap on municipal and school district and county spending and say that if you as a community do not keep your cost, your budget increases, or your contract negotiations to the CPI index, the consumer price index, your residents aren't going to get that property tax cut. Because the way this works is the sales tax gets collected, the expanded sales tax gets collected, and then the state will send to the municipalities the amount of money that they would have gotten had they been taxed under the old system. But if they don't keep their taxes down, they don't get the property tax cut. Now, I think that's going to be a pretty hard hammer, because if the communities say, oh, we don't care about that, let them tell that to the voters in that community that they're not going to get the property tax cut. I don't think they'll last in office very long. And that's the kind of hard cap we need to put in place, not 4%. This 4% cap right now with a whole bunch of ways to get around that cap really means that, and if you looked at it, our property taxes have gone up something like over 5% a year for the last decade. I don't know about you, but I don't know many salaries that have done that, maybe at the upper income levels, but most people don't have those kinds of salary increases. So we're going to put a hard cap on municipal and school district spending. This is going to put property taxes in New Jersey competitive with our neighboring states. Our low and middle income tax rates will remain among the lowest in the nation. The upper income tax rate will drop from that 10.75 millionaire's tax back to 8.97% where it started before this temporary tax was put in place. Corporate tax rate on average will drop, as I said, 25%. Sales tax will remain tied for 12th in the nation on a comparative basis. Among other things, what this does is going to provide $130 million in dedicated funding for open space. You know, we have a bunch of funding that has gone bankrupt on us. We've got a transportation trust fund. Wonderful program. We put it in place during the Cade administration. Pay as you go. Borrow a little bit, some dedicated taxes, pay it back, and you keep going on a pay as you go basis. But the Republicans and Democrats couldn't resist. They borrowed against that to the point, so much so, that now those taxes are going to only be able to pay down the debt. There's not enough money to even get the federal match from the Transportation Department of the federal government if we don't replenish that Transportation Trust Fund. Our Open Space Fund is empty, the fund that we all use to buy open space in the state. And I've been involved in saving thousands of acres of open space between my role as DEP commissioner on the Open Space Advisory Committee here. I've been involved in the Trust for Public Land, and I was just involved in putting together two negotiated deals, both in Hillsborough and Montgomery Township, to preserve the North Princeton Developmental Center as well as the GSA tract in Hillsborough that I worked hard on from the private sector side. So I've been involved in saving a lot of land, but I've said that unfortunately I don't believe we can afford one more penny of debt in New Jersey. So as much as I want to save open space, I've said that we can't do the bond issue this November. What we really ought to do is have a dedicated source of funding for open space, which we've talked about for years and never done. And my plan does that. Out of that budget balancing and rebalancing, we've got $130 million we're going to be able to dedicate, $100 million of it, to preserve open space on a dedicated basis that is annual, $100 million a year to preserve open space. I think that's the way we ought to go on that issue. And then we're going to put $20 million more into tourism promotion, because we've let that dwindle, and tourism is about our second or third largest industry in New Jersey. The heart of small business in New Jersey in many respects is the tourism economy, and this will provide a lot more promotional money for that. And finally, for those communities that want it, we're going to make beaches free, that if people who now charge beach fees want to make their beaches free, they can get the equivalent amount of money they would have raised from the beach fees out of this fund of $10 million. So we have done a number of things here that I think is going to make New Jersey more competitive. It's going to make it more affordable, and it's going to make it so that at the same time we start dealing with a budget gap, because my tax plan deals with about a third of the $8 billion budget gap, another third taken care of by a freeze on spending, and then we'll take care of the last third next spring when we see the economy turn around and make the final adjustments we need to do to take the whole $8 billion. But that's the plan. I welcome an opportunity to talk about it. I'd welcome questions from you about it. And let's have a debate between now and November like we really ought to have. Thank you very much. Thank you.